Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We do come to you and say, Lord, speak truth to our hearts today, and may it not be exactly what I'm saying, but maybe you just say something specific to each person in here today. And Lord, we thank you that you are a big, big God, able to serve each one of us and love each one of us and to speak truth to each one of us individually, Lord. And today we just set our hearts to hear from you. In your name I pray. Amen. We're going to read on a Deuteronomy to start. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 6. And it says, now it shall be if you diligently obey the Lord your God, be careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Those are blessings we want. And it starts with obedience. So today I want to talk about prioritizing obedience. Now, if I were you, when I was younger and I heard that title, I'd probably cringe a little. That today we're going to get a lecture on how we need to be better about obeying God. And that would have been my attitude. And even into adulthood at times, that's been my attitude of don't tell me one more thing I should be doing. And so my heart today is that that's not what communicates with you, because that's simply not in my heart. That's actually never been in my heart. To tell a bunch of believers, that I'm speaking to the choir, who literally have just served this entire week, the community that we live in, that's never been my heart, but I've been dwelling and thinking a lot these last couple weeks on obedience and the importance and the significance of when we hear the voice of God and we choose to act or not act on what he says to us. And so, first of all, I want to say from the beginning that that's my heart intent. Please, if you feel it's coming off judgmental, you can tell me after, but that's not my heart. And the second thing is, I'm going to tell you what I tell, and I say it here frequently too, and I'm not trying to sound like a clinging cymbal, but what I tell my youth group and Sela kids all the time is, he does speak to you. And you can hear him. And he does say that he has a good plan for us. And that he has a path for us. And we can follow that. Now, we are in a world where prioritizing this is not very popular, nor is it always the easiest thing. It's not always easy. But what I definitely don't want it to come across is thinking that because you have prioritized obeying the voice of God, that it's anything but boring. Following the voice of God will be the most exciting thing you do in your life. I was just thinking when Jenna was up here, she has been an example of that in my life since I was a young person. You heard her say she traveled around the world, and you were how old? You were in your 20s? Early 20s? Yeah. She has been incredible. She set out right after high school to go serve the Lord, traveled the world. We've got to travel with her. She's the joy to travel with. Her daughter, what she didn't say is her daughter continuously says she has the worst case of FOMO you've ever met. Jenna does not want to miss out. So when they went to China, this was jam-packed, was it not? Yes. They did everything they possibly could. And you could have said, well, that was a vacation. No, I guarantee you, Jenna and Chad and Elizabeth were sharing the love of Jesus. Like she said, by being a light. And she's a great example in my life as someone who follows the voice of God and does not think it's boring. It's anything but boring following the voice of God. And this is a lot of notes for me, guys. So bear with me. I try to shrink it down a little because I just want to take us through. You know, it becomes more and more real to me. And every time I do a VBS, it becomes more and more real to me that this thing holds life. Now, does it hold everything we need? No, we got to have a direct relationship with God. But this has so much good stuff in it. And as I'm sharing with those kids and I'm looking, and man, did some of them have some good questions this year. I loved it. It wasn't, oh no, I can't believe you're asking that. It's, whoa, what's provoking that thought in your life? What an awesome question. This doesn't really pertain to where I'm going, but I want to tell you, one little girl said, if you don't like God, can you still make it into heaven? And there was a lot of power behind that. And I believe we went on to have a rather good discussion. She was really actually a fun little girl to have a little convo about the theology and the belief of God. She was in 11 and 12, asking herself, what if I don't like this guy? We have a generation that is seeking, and they will find. And what we want to be is people who say, you can obey the voice of God, and you will not be disappointed. You can live a life that follows the path that He has created for you, and you will not be disappointed. It will not be easy at times, and other times you'll feel like, this is what I'm exactly created to do, and it just is your niche, and you just flow in it. And yet they can dwell with their Lord for all the days of their lives. So I kind of want to go through just a little backstory of how we even got here. Now listen, we could sit and debate and dig apart some of this stuff, and I'm more than willing to do that. But I hope you can catch the drift of what I'm trying to say and what God from the beginning of time has been trying to do. But the thing about our Heavenly Father is one of the things we need to establish in here, and I know everyone kind of comes from a different background, that's okay, and I'm not going to critique you for that, but I want you to know that God has given us something called free will, and He has given us the choice. We get the choice. He's not puppeteering us like some people think. He's not doing that. He's a good and gracious God, and if we look around us, that would go contrary to what's happening right now. And so He does. We get to say yes or no. From the beginning of time, Adam and Eve got to say yes or no to the voice of God. Have dominion. Eat of all this good and plenty, but not that. And He gave them the right to say, we will obey or we will disobey. And then time and time again, we read where humanity has been given that opportunity and gift, where God says, this is where I want to take you. Say yes or no. And they do. And now one of the other things that I want you to make sure that when we're going through these stories, because you can nitpick it, every person we're going to talk about today, you can nitpick. But that's the wonderful thing about our God, is that none of them are without failure. But they do have a heart that has said, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go after you. And even in times of doubt, they rally themselves back up and they say, I'm following you. But are they perfect? No. Did they do it the way He intended all the time? Absolutely not. Did they try to take control and form it into what they thought God wanted it to be? Absolutely. But have you and I not done that? Where we know what He's speaking to us, we know where He wants to take us, and we have a death grip on it of control and thinking we're going to maneuver it the way that we see fit, and that somehow it's going to line up with what He says. Now, keep in mind, He can redeem and restore all things. These are foundational truths we have to know as we're reading this. Or you will get caught into works and religion of going, no, you do it this way, and you never, and if you miss it, you're done. That is not the truth, because He's a good and merciful and gracious God. We could start clear back at Adam and Eve, but we're going to start with Abraham. Abraham is given this intense promise in his latter days, where really all other people would have said, thank you for your contribution to this earth. You should probably just write it out for the next few years. And yet God said, no, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And that looked absolutely impossible in that moment. But Abraham grabbed hold of that promise and said, okay, if that's what you say, God, I'll follow that. But then what did Abraham do? Put a death grip on that and decided, I'm going to do this in my own way. I'm going to go around what my wife was also called to do, and I'm going to make this happen my own way. And God brings correction and says, no, it's not what I'm asking you to do. I will provide a way. Abraham could have just retired. He could have just said, God, you picked me. You should have probably came about 50 years sooner. But he obeyed. Did he mess it up at times? Yes. But he obeyed. And then as I was going through this study, I kind of thought, well, these are kind of people that I wouldn't normally pick, but I'm going to pick them. And then you get to Ruth. Ruth's lost her husband. But she is committed to the family that God placed her in, and she's going to love her mother-in-law, and she's going to serve her mother-in-law, and she's going to tie herself to her mother-in-law, and she's going to do all that she can. And her mother-in-law is wise, and they're a team. But Boaz comes along. And because of Ruth and Boaz, we have Obed, and that starts the lineage to getting Jesus to the earth. Because Ruth got out of her comfort zone and obeyed. She was totally comfortable staying with Naomi and just living out her life, doing what they needed to do to survive together. And yet God called her out of her comfortable situation into a new one. And she said, okay, I'll do it. And because of that, we have Obed, who then starts the lineage of getting Jesus to this earth. Then we get to David. Does anybody else just love David? Because what an absolute screw up David is. And yet as a young David, he confidently and humbly stepped into the role God created for him. Yet he let his flesh affect the decisions he was making and the call on his life. But time and time again, we see him apologize and humble himself and set his heart for what God has for him and follow what God's was leading him to do. And over again, God shows him mercy, calls him to that higher level, calls him to maturity, calls him to overcome. And he could have let his shame and disobedience cause him to hide. He could have hidden from it. How many times have we done that? You know, one of the sayings that I've heard several people, especially when I was growing up, was if they were starting to get maybe a bad reputation, and somebody would say, maybe make an accusation to them, they say, well, they already think I'm doing it, so I might as well do it. No. It's not about how you're perceived by other people. It's about what God's telling you to do. And if they have the wrong judgment of you the rest of your life, yet you are doing what God's asked you to do, that is a great place to be in. And all these things will get worked out, and all these things, he could have let the community that had, I'm sure they didn't have great opinions and feelings about him, dictate what he did. He could have just hidden his shame. And there's been times in my life where I wanted to just hide in my shame and in a little hole and not come out because I did it again, I ran my mouth again, or I lost my patience with somebody again, or I heard the voice of God and I disobeyed it once again. And I could stay in that shame and in that embarrassment and what do other people think of me, or I could shake that off and say, God, you have said that there is a path for me and a promise for me. I'm grabbing hold of it. And time again, I will pick myself back up and I will pursue what you have to say do, because if you're catching my drift here, the decisions that these people made affected people thousands of years later. Not just their immediate family, which absolutely has an effect. Not just their community and their kingdoms, which absolutely had an effect. But their decisions to obey or not obey literally affected you and me. And see, right now, we kind of, as much as we are broadcast to the world and we have access to the world, you know what I love is that we can know all that we probably need to know about China from our couch, but there's nothing like getting boots on the ground. But what has happened in our culture right now is we have access to everyone and we're more isolated than ever. And when we're isolated, we start distorting the truth about reality. And we start having this very narrow view of it. When God has said, I've called you to be boots on the ground. I've called you to go out into the byways and the highways. And I've called you to have relationships with people. And it's going to be messy at times. And yet you can have an effect on your community. You can have an effect on your world. You can bring light to darkness. You can be bring truth where lies have been told. And that's what, you know, we've been called to do. And so we come to Joseph and Mary. Joseph, out of anyone, could have let the disappointment and hurt feelings keep him from being who God called him to be, which was to be the man that safely ushered in the birth of our Savior. But he could have said no. That's the thing. He could have said, this is not what I signed up for, and I'm rather confused by it all. He had every right to say that. Yet he was chosen by God to be the protector of his family and to usher in our Savior. And he said yes. Mary. You go, well, Mary didn't have a choice. No, Mary had a choice. To listen to the voice of God and to raise this son the way that God was asking her to raise, she could have said no. And then we get Jesus. And at 12 years old, he comes to the full realization of who he was created to be. At 12 years old, or thereabouts, but a young person. The full impact of this is what you're called to do. This is what it's going to look like. It is going to be hard. It's going to be brutal. And you might think Jesus couldn't say no. Jesus could have said no. In fact, he says, are you sure there's not another way? Are you sure there's not a plan B? Are you sure this is exactly? No, he could have said no. But man, aren't you glad he didn't. And in Philippians 2, 8 through 11, it says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He humbled and obeyed. He said yes. And I'm so thankful that he pushed through the grief that he had, that he pushed through the concern that he had, the temptations that he had. He is an example to us that you can be tempted and stand firm. You can grieve and not let it take you out. You can hurt for others and let it embolden you or weaken you. And he did all those things and said, if there's another way, let me know now, but if not, here I go. I'm going straight into what you've created me to do. I'm going straight in to declare the freedom for our people. In Romans 5:19, it says, for as through one man's disobedience, Adam's, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. Thank you for your obedience. That has affected us for thousands of years now. And you may think, we live in Sturgis, South Dakota. You're a part of a family, you're a part of a community. And whether we want to acknowledge it or not, and we want to make ourselves small and stay in this safe little bubble, our decisions today impact others for many, many, many years. and your choice to obey or not obey the voice of a God, the voice of God does impact those around you. Like I said, God uses people to get his work done on this earth, and that's something that I've struggled with, to be honest with you, because we're not always great at that. I was asking the VBS kids, what are we up to now in our population? And they all, which I'm like, man, where do you guys learn all? But I mean, it's known, but I'm just saying they're very confident and they knew. We're up to 8 billion. 8 billion people on this planet. All of them, God is attempting to speak to. Not all of them will listen, but some will. And Lord, may I be in the category of who's listening to do my best to impact those around me. Maybe not 8 billion, maybe not thousands, maybe not hundreds, maybe my little family of five, of listening to the voice of God and following him and having an impact, being an example, speaking the way I'm supposed to speak, treating them the way that we're supposed to treat one another. This is often sometimes when we start going, yeah, but I really don't have the gifts and the talents to do that, or the patience, whatever. The list of excuses is very long. I will tell you, every summer, I have a really long list of reasons why I don't think we should or need to do VBS or camp. I really do. I have a long list, and I really do think that I could make an argument to justify not doing either one. I've said this before, and I'm not, but every SELA camp, every year I get a little bit more like, angels, do your thing. I don't take lightly what this is. I don't take lightly the potential and the risk of having a camp. Especially this year, we'll probably have over 80 people there at camp. And that's a lot for this gal, you know? And yet, he didn't ask me to make sure that that all got worked out. He asked me to say yes. And so, if you're going, well, you must just be really talented. No, I'm actually really not that talented or smart and stumble my way into most things. But in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, it says, for consider your calling, brethren. Just let's pause right there. I just want you to know you all have a calling. And you say, well, I don't want one too bad. You all have a calling. Brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen, not me, not Pastor John, not this church, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to shame the things which are strong. He's a God of opposites, quite often, when we're reading. And sometimes the person who's not so inclined to publicly speak is exactly the one that does the best at explaining to others the love of Jesus. And sometimes the person who maybe doesn't have the education the world thinks it should have is actually the smartest one in the room and can describe what God's done for us in a way that we can understand. He uses all this. If we think that we have to have qualifications and we have to meet some great expectation before God can use us, we're fooling ourselves. All these people made mistake time and time again, yet the heart and the vow they made was, God, I will serve you. I will say yes to you. And yeah, I'm going to make mistakes, and maybe sometimes I delay saying yes to you, or maybe sometimes I really make a mess of it, but I'm committing to saying yes to you over and over and over again, even though it gets messy. My mom and I, we, during VBS, God bless any of you guys who are there, because we love each other dearly, but we can disagree on things. And it takes a minute for us to work it out. Yet our hearts are for the same cause. Does that make sense? And you can be in an environment where you're like, I adamantly disagree with this person, but we have the same goal. And there's power there, even if you don't see eye to eye. And so all these people that we read through history that have contributed to where we are today, they have. We cannot deny that. And then in turn, we are contributing to where our future generation is going to be. And I, for one, want to be the one that contributes saying, you can obey the voice of God. And you won't be disappointed. When I was young, I often thought, if I obey the voice of God, that's going to be a rather boring life. And to be honest with you, when I am in my niche, which is what God's created me to do, the peace and the fulfillment and the contentment I have is unlike any other place I've ever been. And I know, because there's times I've ran from it. And I think, oh, I'll just find contentment over here. I'll find peace over here because what God's asking me to do is so big and so heavy, and how am I supposed to do all this? It's actually the opposite. Even if God's asking you to do something that's really outside your comfort zone, you can find peace and contentment there because he's called you to it. He's got given you the grace to do it. And so imagine for a second, Pastor Lisa saying no to those 150 kids this year and the impact it had on our community. And I'm not saying there won't be a time that God tells us, you're done. That's the voice of God and we will listen to it. And the same with camp. But imagine if we said no to having Sela camp. That's just what our body in Sturgis, South Dakota, part of what our body in Sturgis, South Dakota is doing. When he speaks, we say yes. And it's not always convenient. And it's not always without problems. We woke up Tuesday morning all in a little bit of a panic because the weather wasn't cooperating the way that it was supposed to. And, you know, we often say when you feel like we got everything done, that's usually a bad sign. So, you know, realizing we didn't actually get everything done and rushing here. And yet, I have to tell you, those 3 days were probably some of the sweetest days I've had in a long time. Being where God's created us to be. Doing what he's created us to do. And that's not, maybe that's not what it looks like for you. But God is calling you to something. God is calling you to have an effect on your neighbor, have an effect in your family, or have an effect in your community, and you say, well, I am a little bit like Abraham, and I'd rather just ride these last few years out. I really encourage you not to. I encourage you to listen to the voice of God and obey, because your obedience has an effect on people to come. I was having a particularly grumpy day a couple weeks ago. There's just, like, a lot going on, and I had this thought. That there have been people who disobeyed the voice of God, and it's cost me. And it's cost my ministry. And I was meditating on that, grumbling a little. But as I was telling somebody, you know, I had this thought that somebody's disobedience has actually affected my life and my ministry. And as I was, the words aren't even out of my mouth, the thought occurred, your disobedience to what God has asked you to do has affected many. Hear me out. I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty or pass a judgment. This is reality. We're setting our hearts to obey and follow the voice of God, and there will be times where we fail. And there will be times that we let our flesh outrule us, and there are going to be times where I'm just going to be stubborn and say, no, not today. I don't want to. Absolutely. But it does affect other people. It does affect this church. It does affect my community that I live in. It does affect, man, how many places we go and support. It affects that. But my obedience also affects that. My willingness to say yes to the voice of God. And I'm not sitting up here going, my. This is what I'm just saying. When we say yes to the voice of God, it affects the people around us. And like Jenna was saying, she didn't necessarily have to walk into that temple and go, oh, hello, everyone, you're wrong. Her presence brought Christ with her. And our presence brings Christ with us into those environments. And us simply showing up where Christ tells us to show up, us simply saying hello or greeting someone, and I know you're going, those are really simple things, is where I tell my youth group to start. That kid at school that is the most annoying person, go say hi to them. Because see, back where we're reading in 1 Corinthians, where he says he uses the foolishness of people, there have been times in my life where I say, oh God, maybe don't use that person yet. They maybe need to grow up a little. They maybe, and you know, I'm sure he looks at me as like, you're silly. It's not even about them. It's about they have a heart and a willingness to do what I've asked them to do. And it starts simple. But when we say yes to him, the impact that we have, it just became so real to me this week. Every year, we finish preschool and we start talking about VBS, and I just want to put my fingers in my ears and go, la, 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 I don't want to talk about this right now. Yet we say yes. And I'm not being dramatic, you guys. I think we had a great impact this week in our community. I think a lot of seeds were sown. I think some parents that are seeing their kids be hungry and thirsty for the things of God is inspiring them to grow up and to mature and to stop saying no to the voice of God and start saying, I've known for a while he's asked me to do this. I've known for a while he's asked me to step it up in my family, to lead my family the way that he's created. I know that he's placed on my heart to get involved in a local church. I know he's placed on my heart to support a missionary, whatever it may be. I think we're going to start seeing a lot of people saying yes. And we want to be a body that says, come on in. We're saying yes. And it looks rough sometimes, and sometimes the building gets in such disarray that the sound system doesn't work on a Sunday morning, but we're saying yes. You know, we kept laughing that we were going to get in this building and we're going to break it in with the first VBS, and we broke this building in. We have two doors off hinges and everything else, but we're saying yes. And I don't do this a lot, and I hope that you'll just indulge me, but I've grown up with parents who continuously said yes. Sometimes I begged them to say no. But for decades now, they have sown seeds into this community. And you've supported them in that. And great is their reward. But great is your reward too. And as I age and get older, and I had the amazing blessing of watching two people just say yes, it makes me want to get firmer and firmer for the next generation that I say yes. Send me, Lord. Tell me where to go. Tell me who to talk to. Should we make the slip and slide bigger? I don't know. Should we add one more day? Maybe. We'll just say yes. So if you just stand with me. Heavenly Father, I can say a message like this, but I can't deny that there are times that we have had in our lives that have given us every reason and temptation to say no. We all have hurts. We've all had moments where we've said yes to you and actually it broke our hearts. Or people rejected us. Or spoke ill of the good we were trying to do. We all have those moments, Lord, and sometimes it's kept us from doing exactly what you've asked us to do. But as I said at the beginning of the service, Lord, I just pray that each one of us can lay those things at your feet and say, Lord, I don't want that to keep me from doing what you've created me to do anymore. I don't want the fear of the what ifs to keep me from hearing the voice of God and doing what you've created me to do anymore. I don't want to sit here and always weigh the risks and the pros and cons. I want to just be obedient. Because my obedience does affect many and many to come. And many who have not yet even walked in this building. But my obedience today paves a way for that to happen. And Lord, I just pray that you help each one of us go home today and set some of the heaviness of just life and expectations and the cares and set them at your feet and say, thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done in my life. Whether I'm 10 or whether I'm approaching 100, thy will be done in my life. If you can use Abraham, you can use me. If you can use a young Mary, you can use me. And I have a heart willing to serve you and to serve your people. And I say yes to you. In your name I pray. Amen. And have a blessed week.